Hey, welcome to The Interactive Journey. Come along with us as we share the stories of parents, children, and professionals navigating a challenging world of various diagnoses, life transitions, and being human.
Well, Serena Lopez, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
We are really excited. We're going to get things going here with The Interactive Journey. Also, this is our first time recording in quite some time.
Definitely the first time in 2024.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We took a little hiatus, had a very busy, busy fall here at Interactive Kids, and now we're getting back to it again. Thank goodness, because we do love doing this. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Serena.
So I'm a certified occupational therapy assistant. I've been in the field for 3 years now. I went to Harcum College in PA. It was like an accelerated program. It was like quick, easy, had so much fun.
So would you recommend that program?
I do.
Okay,
I
good.
Do. I love it. I actually want to go back and speak. I talked to my professor there, and she was just like, yeah, come in. Like, all my coders are terrified. And I was just like, oh, don't worry. That was me. I was the one who sat in the back of the class. I did not speak. If the teacher called on me, I'm just like, call somebody else. Don't look at me.
Why do we do that? We all do that. Now, I mean, you can't shut me up most of the time. But when I was
do.
In school, I had such a hard time,
so
too.
I have, like, that anxiety. Yeah. And I call it, like, my little stim, per se. Like, I do. I call it my little stim. And, like, when I get nervous, I'll yawn. And now we're all going to yawn because it's contagious.
Don't. No.
but, like, even, like, if I have to talk in front of people, I do this yawn. And it looks like I'm about to start crying.
Oh, man.
But that's, like, my little stim. Like, I do not like being called on in class. I don't like answering questions because I just think I'm wrong. Yes. And it turns out half the time I'm right.
Probably more than that.
Yeah.
You said something. The other CODAs. What's a CODA?
So it's a certified occupational therapy assistant. So it's SOTA, their student, occupational therapy assistants.
Okay.
And, you know, there's not a lot of jobs out there for us. It is a hard, unless you want to work in a skilled nursing facility, there's not a lot of PEATs. So that's why I decided to do my own thing down here in South Jersey.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really great.
So I really, like, they don't really teach much PEATs in school. Mm-hmm. So, like, there were no jobs down here in South Jersey. I commuted my first year of school. Mm-hmm. I was commuting 2 hours to work up in Newark.
Wow.
3 days a week, I was commuting just so then I could work in the PEDS environment, get my hands-on experience, love what I do. So I went up there. And then I got an hour closer up in Jackson at the therapy place. Leah Gross is the owner. I love her. She is the best mentor ever. So she has taught me almost everything I know and more.
Shout out to Lee.
Yep. I love her. She's amazing. And she's got me to, like, continue my education. So I've done, like, the floor time training. I want to do the second one. Life happens. I just can't get to it.
Right.
I've gotten, like, the autism certification. So, like, I just want to, like, the primitive reflex integration training. So I think it's really more of, like, you have to put yourself out there. You have to do more. You have to, you know, get yourself out there to learn, to be the best. And that's what I kind of want to be without going to go get my master's degree. So
you don't want to get your master's degree?
I don't. No. I have spoke to a lot of therapists, like, before I went to Harcum. I have, like, educated myself. I was just like, do you like what you do? Like, how do you like it? Like, what can I expect? And they basically told me CODAs stay CODAs, really. Like, there are some bridge programs. They're a lot of money. I'm comfortable wearing that.
Right.
I'm very, how do I explain it? Oh, I hear the baby upstairs.
Yeah. You're financially conscious?
No, not content? That. I'm kind of just, like, comfortable where I'm at. Like, yeah. I am very, I know I am educating myself in the proper ways that I need. I am actually helping educate the OTRs.
Right.
So, like, I'm still a trained professional just like them. Just because I don't have my master's degree doesn't make it any different. That's how I kind of look at it. Like, they do evals. I get to treat all day.
Right.
And that's what I like doing.
Yes. So you don't do any evals?
So I do. I do.
Okay.
I do right now. And I have a wonderful OTR that I work with hand in hand, and she looks over everything I do, and she works with me with the children, and she trusts me. She feels that I'm very competent in everything that I know, and I always think you have to learn more.
Right.
You know, so you kind of have to put yourself out there. And that's why I was just like, oh, let's do this podcast. Sure. Let's see what I know on the spot, you know?
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you first started working, where, what do you think you picked up that's most valuable to you now as a professional?
So I believe you have to get on the child's level. You have to make the children think that they are not doing therapy. Mm-hmm. That's how I do all my sessions. I don't want a child to come to me and say, oh, I'm going to therapy. Oh, I have to do exercise. No, I'm your friend. You're coming to me and we're going to play and have such a good time.
You have one of the most fun therapies that are out there, too.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah. So how I got in the field, I never explained that yet, besides going to school. So
I told you we don't stay on topic.
Yeah, I told you I'm going to jump around and around and around and not stay on topic either.
It's okay. We'll get back to it.
So how I got into it was my mom owns a daycare and one of the parents is an OTR. And then also some of the kids needed early intervention. So I would see the OTR come in, do the early intervention. I'm just like, wow, that's kind of cool. But then coming to like, I was already 2 years into nursing school, realized I don't like the blood, the needles, not me. And I was just like, what can I do? So I went into outpatient and I was just like, can I just follow you around? I did my 40-hour volunteer time.
Okay.
And she was just like, yeah, can you play like this guess who game with this kid? And I was just like, you're getting paid to play guess who? I was just like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, and I was just like, tell me more. Like, I want to learn. And I just applied to CODA school, got right in, and I was just like, okay, let's do this.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah. So I was just like, this seems so... Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No, you're getting paid to play guess who.
Yeah, exactly.
What made you choose special needs field?
So before my mom opened up the daycare... she worked at the Arc of Atlantic County for years and years and years. So I grew up around the population. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I think that's actually one of the questions on here. Where is it? What advice do you have for parents of neurotypical children who want to be more inclusive with the special needs community? Get them into volunteering with the Arc of Atlantic County.
It's a great organization.
We used to be, and I remember my mom used to, every single week, we go to their practice for, like, their talent shows, and it's all about, like, putting yourself out there and just, like, encouraging these individuals, like, you're a great dancer, you could do this, you could do that, this is so much fun. So you kind of just have to, you know, educate your kids a little bit, get them out there.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
So your mom took you, like, because she had to go and work, and she's like, you're coming with me, Serena, let's go.
No. Okay.
Well, that's somehow how it happens. It's definitely for us.
So
here.
I believe she also did, like, the afternoon program. Okay. So when I was done school, and, you know,
that's where
I didn't
went.
Care. I was just like, oh, let's go hang out with some fun people, you know?
Yeah.
Let's go hang out. So I just grew up around it. And I feel like unless you get your kids out there to really show them... That's the only way they're going to learn, really.
That's true, that exposure. Yeah. That's why I actually love the take your child to work day.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a thing when we were younger.
It wasn't.
Again, showing my age. But it wasn't really a thing then. And now I love it because you get that exposure. And even if you realize you don't want to do that, you realized one thing you definitely are not going to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's wonderful.
I remember I used to get to stay home because my mom transitioned from the Arc of Atlantic County to the at-home daycare. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, ooh, I get to stay home. I thought I was like the coolest person ever.
Uh-huh. That's great. So what are some misconceptions out there about OT and OTs?
Okay. So we started to talk about this. So I feel as though a lot of people don't realize that OT isn't just for children with any sort of diagnosis. You know what I mean? So, like, a lot of neurotypical children need it. And I also think the misconceptions is they think OT is just for dressing, buttoning, writing. And you really got to get down and dirty. Like, there's so much more. And I could talk about this all day.
We'll talk about it a little bit more because not everyone knows what occupational therapy is.
Yeah. So I'm in the outpatient setting, which is really about the overall child. So I like to see a child in their home environment, in the school environment, in the outpatient environment, in the community. So the first thing when a child comes to me is, I want to play with you. I want to see how you play. I want to see how you interact. I want to see what you like doing, what your interests are. Do you run up and down the hallway 1,000 times? What do you like? What gets you happy? So that's like really the first step. The first step of OT is regulating a child. You cannot have a child sit down in a desk and expect them to write. Like, you cannot do that. You have to regulate a child. And every child is different. Some of them like relaxing with music in a dark room. Some like running up and down the hallway. Some like doing 700 trampoline jumps. Like, some like the tactile input and deep pressure. So it really just depends. And then you go up to like, so the way I do it is it's sensory. Then you go to body awareness a little bit and primitive reflex integration. Those are the reflexes that you develop in utero. And some kids just aren't born with them, or they lose them after like a traumatic experience. So we just have to reintegrate those, so then they don't have that anxiety. So then they're able to copy from the board. So then they're not laying on their head on the desk and they're just, you know. So that's why I say a lot of neurotypical children need OT. Because just because they're keeping up in the class, that child may have anxiety. They may not be able to see the board. They probably have poor ball skills that a typical child needs to do. So it varies a lot. Sorry, I'm going off topic.
Okay. So you're looking at, right, so the difference between you and a PT is you're looking more at the small muscle groups, right, and how that interacts is part, that like is one of the parts of it. And you're looking at like those self-stimulatory behaviors and, you know, that regulation, that side of things.
Yeah, and I'm also working on, I work on a ton of like core strength and upper body strengthening.
Okay.
That is so important. Like, just because I have a few kids now that were discharged from other OTs because they think they figured out how to regulate a child, but they're not regulated.
Right.
Or they say that they have proper core strength and because they could do a sit-up. Just because a child could do a sit-up does not mean their core strength is at par, you know?
Well, what does it mean then when their core strength is at par? Like, how do you tell, right? So you can do a sit-up. That actually, I mean, that's a start.
So this is actually what they don't teach in school. So the way we do it is low, mid, and high level core. And we do them with the reflexes. So we have the TLR reflex, the STNR, the ATNR, and we do them. So basically how to explain this is we want the child, have everyone who's listening, go home to your child, have them lay in the Superman pose. If their feet fly up for 10 seconds or they can't lift their arms off the ground, then they probably need OT because they have retained primitive reflexes. It's just core strength, and that's what they need. It helps with the wrist, digit, shoulder strengthening. Like, we want the child overall to be strengthened. Okay. Because it helps mentally, physically, emotionally.
Sure. Right. And you talked about being regulated.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, how do you know if somebody is dysregulated or not regulated?
So this is like another misconception in the world. Yep. So I see OTs who they're just like, see, they're regulated. They're tired. Being tired is not regulated.
Specifically dysregulated.
You want a child to be regulated. When a child is regulated, they are breathing. They have a nice breathing pattern. They are able to focus and attend, and they're like, I'm ready to learn. So the way I do this in my sessions to see if a child is regulated is they come in and they're running in circles. So what am I going to do? We're going to play the push me over game. That is so much fun. You go on your knees and you have the child push you over. It gives them the best deep pressure. It helps with upper body, proprioceptive input. It's just great for a child to do. You have them do 100 trampoline jumps, jump into the beanbags, crush them a little bit, give them more deep pressure. And then after, you're just like, I bet you I could do a drawing contest and I'm going to win. And that's how you get the handwriting aspect.
Okay. Awesome. So you guide them through that.
So you want
to exercises to help them regulate. And
yeah. And then, you know, after, some kids are just like, no, I don't want to write. Okay. So it's either a non-preferred test or they want to do something else. So guess what? We're not going to have a drawing contest. You tell me what you want to do and we'll do it.
And you'll make it work.
We can make anything out of OT.
Sure.
If a kid wants to like just do nothing, lay on their belly, roll around. Log rolling is great for the moro. Right. Like, there's so many things. We can make therapy into nothing. And I think I posted on my page the other day, it was a child playing a marble run game. And I was just like, you just see a child playing this game. but I see so much more. Like, this was his chosen task that he wants to do, so I'm going to make it into therapy. So either we're going to lay on our belly to do it for core strengthening, or we're doing it in a tall kneel, and instead I'm going to have you reach for the marbles and play, oh, you can't reach it. Like, try to play like that to get them more interested in it.
We will post the link to your Facebook page and any yes. other resources that come up. We'll post them at the end.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think are some good things that people could do at home for the preschool aged, you know, up to maybe about 5 years old?
Yeah.
Some good OT-related activities to build on some of that core strength, to work on regulation. You know,
yeah.
Because that's kind of setting them up.
The big thing around that age group is body awareness. If you look at a child, they come in and they go up the steps a little wonky a little bit, and they're like tripping and falling. They're like, oh, I didn't see that bump, or I just tripped over that toy, and they're falling on their hands and crashing
down.
They
look like baby giraffes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. I like that term. I haven't heard that one before.
We actually use that at home to talk about my daughter, Juliet, because when she was a little
young. She's not currently under five.
She's not. But when she was, you know, about 12, 13, she just got really tall really fast, and she was just a little bit awkward. So my husband started calling her Baby Giraffe, and actually BG for short, and he will still refer to her as BG.
I love
yep.
that.
That's great.
I love
Things we do that traumatize our children.
Right, talk to right.
In about 10 years, she'll be like, things that traumatized me are.
Yeah, you can interview her next, and she'll have lots of fun stories.
I love that.
Can we do it when you're not here?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's the only way to do it.
Juicy info.
You're going to find a lot more out.
So tell us a little bit about sensory sessions with Serena. What is that?
Yeah, so it's occupational therapy services. At first, I had to call them sensory sessions because I was just like, I need to make sure I don't lose my license for practicing occupational therapy. I paid an attorney to make sure everything went smoothly. Okay. I have my OTR that supervises me. So I provide occupational therapy sessions now in South Jersey. And what we do is your child comes in for a consultation, and I look over everything. I test their reflexes, or it's more of just like a little play date because, you know, I'm not going to have a child who has autism, if they don't want to attend to a task, they're not going to attend to a task, and I'm not going to make them.
Right.
I'm not going to say, hey, lay on your belly. Let's see if you can hold Superman pose. It's right. not, you can't do that.
Right. Well, you have to take the time to build that trust.
Exactly.
To your stranger, you know, who's coming into their world telling them what to do.
Exactly. So I'm not going to tell them no unless they're going to pull like a fire alarm, you know?
Right.
Like, if they want to go make a mess, dump everything, oh, I want to make a mess too. I'm going to make this bin that's bigger, I'm going to dump it even more and hear that loud crashing sound and see how they react, because that's also, that counts as well, you know? I want to see all their different reactions. So basically what I want all my parents to take away, and what I've seen, I've heard so much good feedback, and I'm so, so super happy about it. I want, like, these parents to come into the session. I want them to see what I'm doing with the child so they could carry over at home, because a lot of the time, the parents who bring their child once a week, they don't realize that I am not a magician if I see your child for 30 minutes a week. So I want them to really take it home. And I want you to, I give you these games and these fun ideas to take home and carry over. Like, I never answered your question for the kids under five, like what to do at home. But like, it depends, it varies for each child. But like, take out all the couch cushions, jump into them. I want them to crawl over. I want it to be hard for them to crawl over to get that reciprocal crawling pattern, to get that input in their hands. A lot of the children that age like the vestibular input. So
what does that mean?
I feel like
that's
we could
a very large word.
It's one of the senses. We could go like a whole other podcast on the senses.
Would you like to teach
and
a class?
And the sensory system. So basically it's like your body moving in space. That's how I could just explain it, just the overall. I won't get into the big long terms even more. But like the front rolling, so I usually have kids like do like a wheelbarrow walk, which a lot of kids can't do. So try that at home too, parents. If your child cannot do 15, 20 wheelbarrow walks, they probably need occupational therapy. Okay. But I usually have them do like wheelbarrow walks into a front roll, but into the front roll, you kind of want to throw them a little bit. you really want them to get that input to regulate them and to be like, whoa, that's so much fun and my body really likes that. So it's all about learning each child. So I have these parents come to me and they ask me, okay, well, I want a sensory diet to start today. And I'm like, what I could do is I can give it to you in like 2 to 3 sessions, but I could also give you some things to do at home. I'm only giving you 2 exercises and you have to let me know, do they work? But you can't say they can't work if you don't do them every day.
Right.
So it's more of just like a carryover at home. And if you can't carry over at home, then I need to see the child like 2 to 3 times a week.
Right.
You know?
Change your frequency.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I know we do parent training as well at Interactive Kids. And that's something that we're working on too, is like, what is realistic for you? What are you going to be able to follow through? Are you going to be able to work on these parent goals, whatever it is?
Right.
And we get it because many of us are parents as well and understand that your lives happen and they get in the way.
Yeah.
But that commitment, right? The commitment to the treatment that you're recommending is so important in order to see the progress moving forward.
So it's actually really funny because I was coming here today and I was just like, last night I worked from 3 to 7:30, an outpatient, and I have not done as much parent training in 4.5 hours than I did last night. And
wow.
I was just like, I'm going to be drained talking about this, but at the same time, I love talking about it so I could talk and talk and talk about it.
That's great.
I actually had a parent last night. The day before, I see him 2 days in a row. He usually could go home. He's autistic, and he could go home before he comes to me. Life happens. Traffic. They had to come straight to me. He came in. He was not having it from mom. He was not having it from me. He acted like he never wanted to see me ever, ever again. So I pulled out the one thing he asked to do last session. Wanted nothing to do with it. So we went on the layer swing. And it was like the world turned upside down. I had him like roll very tight in a blanket. And like when I roll them, like they are flipping side to side very fast. And I close the top and I bounce them really hard like a basketball. And they love it. And after it, he was like a whole different child. And the mom texted me that night and she goes, I don't know what you did or what your techniques are, but me and dad are coming in. And we are training tomorrow.
Great.
And I was just like, amazing. I was just like, this is what I wanted the whole
That's
time.
That's so cool.
I was just like, and I gave her like some techniques too. Like, you can't really do anything on the car right there. Like, she's just worried about getting him to me. So I like told her, go to the dollar store. You don't need these expensive therapy toys. Go to the dollar store. I'm sure you have a basket in your house. If you have a child, you have baskets laying around everywhere. Get a basket, put it in the trunk of your car, go to the dollar store and get 5 things. It could even be like little clothespins. Put clothespins, a little tiny ball, something, the sticky balls that they could stick to the side of the window in the car and be like, I know you're frustrated. Get them a weighted lap pad for in the car too. I know you're frustrated, but this is what we have to do. We're going to see Serena. We're going to go play and you take your time that you need to decompress, you know, even though they won't understand it.
Right.
And that's how you kind of have to do it. Put some music on that they might like in the car, turn it a little bit low, and just drive. Like, a child needs to decompress too. Like, and I know it's very, very hard because, you know, I have a long day just in those 4.5 hours of therapy because I know I need to keep up the high energy level for a child to be happy and excited and want to play. So can you imagine these little tiny babies are going to school all day and then they have to come to me after?
Right.
It's a long day. So I don't blame these parents.
You mentioned the weighted lap pad for the car. Can you talk a little bit about weighted blankets and deep pressure and how that is helpful?
Yeah. So it varies child to child, of course. I always like to recommend weighted blankets or I don't recommend weighted vests. We could keep them in school or an outpatient. It depends. Every therapist is different. It's supposed to be like 10% of your child's body weight. So then they get that deep compression and they feel secure. And like I like my deep pressure, you will see me wearing leggings and hoodies and baggy clothes 24/7. That's how my leggings, they're my deep pressure. I'm as happy as can be. But like a weighted lap pad, that's just an extra input for a child to really try to regulate some sort of something.
Why does that regulate someone having that deep pressure? I mean, if you don't have an answer, that's fine too. But I have always wondered
why.
What is it that does it? Because you said the thing about the leggings, and it's so true. Like, when I wear a pair of leggings, but then at the end of the day, when I take them off, I'm like, ugh. Like, when I'm going to put my pajamas on, which are always looser pants, I'm like, oh, that feels good. Like, each feels different, but having that pressure, it's almost calming, I guess. I don't know.
So, to me, I would say, like, my leggings are my proprioceptive input. So, that's another sense, like, the vestibular and they go hand in hand. So, if you do any sort of vestibular input, which is, like, spinning and all that, you have to follow with proprioceptive input. So, it's to regulate the child.
Which is putting some kind of pressure or something on the body.
Yeah, it's the joints and muscles, compression. So, like, that's why I give a lot of the kids heavy work. I'm like, oh, guess what? Now your sensory diet, you're in charge of all the laundry. You have to push the laundry basket all at home.
As
all
a mother, around. I love that.
Oh, yes. I tell the parents love it because they're just like, they have to hear it from you. Like, that's not coming from me. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, oh, by the way, you have to bring the trash to the curb too.
It's awesome. I'm telling my boys that. Yes, yeah. Because they never want to take the trash and recycling out.
Yep.
And they're better now, but they didn't for a long time. And I'm going to tell them that's their heavy work.
Next time they get upset or they're upset about something, go take the trash out. You'll feel better, I swear.
Exactly.
Prescribed treatment.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So what does your future look like?
Future. Ooh.
Yes.
Professional.
Well, today I'm going to.
My future, I just want to build more of a caseload down here in South Jersey. I think it's very, very important. I want to help every person that I can. And that's why I'm not charging the crazy therapy prices, because I feel like these babies need it. Right. And, you know, up north, unfortunately, that's how it is. But they'll pay $130 for the half hour session. Like, you know, like, they could pay. And down here, we can't. we're all surviving, you know? Yeah.
So how are your services funded? Is it private pay?
I am private pay.
Okay.
And I try to work as much with parents as I possibly can.
Sure.
And that's why, like, when I was looking over these questions, like, you said, what would your company do if you were giving $50,000? We always need extra therapy equipment, but we don't need that much therapy equipment, even though it's very expensive. It could easily add up to that much. But, like, I would honestly keep some of it aside for parents who cannot afford a consult and give them, like, 30 sessions that insurance usually reimburses. Here's 30 sessions. So I'll give you 30 sessions with your child. Like, I just feel like I know these babies need the services.
So then it would be Serena's scholarships.
Basically, I guess so. That's one way to put it.
Where are you located for the people listening?
So I could do it private in your home, but right now I've teamed up with Nellie. She owns Wayfinder Therapy Services. She's a speech pathologist.
I've talked to Nellie.
You have?
And Nellie is, knows Christy Stack, too. Yes, Nellie came back to the area.
Yeah,
that was about a year ago. That's right. We'll put her link in the in the page as well.
So I am working at her facility right now. Not her facility, her sensory region.
And where is that located?
In Pleasantville.
Okay, so closer to Atlantic City. It's in Atlantic County. Yes.
Yeah, I live in Moulka. It's like 25 minutes away.
Nice.
It's kind of close to everywhere.
Yeah.
It's right, yeah.
And everyone, apparently.
Yeah.
So Logan's your neighbor, and our consultant Amanda Banner is your neighbor.
Yeah.
It's a small world out there. Yes. In the woods.
I love the woods.
Just far enough.
So what else do you wish that we asked you today?
That's like a tricky question. I was like looking over some of the questions and I was just like, ooh, which ones are the hard ones for me? And I didn't really look at that one. I don't think it's something that I wish you would have asked me, but I think it's more of like, I feel like the children who are neurotypical need more push for occupational therapy. I feel as though they need more occupational. So my caseload up in Jackson, I feel as though maybe 25% are autistic and the other are just general.
So it's getting the word out then.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like a lot of these babies need occupational therapy. I think everyone needs occupational therapy.
That's right.
So your caseload up north is 25% autistic and then 75% other challenges or neurotypical?
Yeah, like generalized muscle weakness, unspecified lack of coordination. They're like neurotypical children who might have just like ADHD. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. Like,
What's your age range that you work with?
So I work with 0 to, what's my highest they have right now? 16?
Okay.
Yeah. So my older ones, oh, they love me.
I'm so kind of like so birth fun. Into high school age, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
My older ones, they're just like, well, why am I doing this? And, you know, at that age, you kind of have to be like, this is why you're doing this. This is why for this. And, you know, a lot of rewards come into play. So right sure. now I have them. Okay, if we do these three exercises, the rest of the time you get to play on my virtual reality headset. That they love it. I have a job wow. simulator. I make sure that it's OT related. I make sure I play the games beforehand. And so it's not too hard, but I want to make sure that they're engaged and they like it. And they're just like, oh, I want to go back to Miss Serena this week and I'm going to do my 10 push-ups and I'm going to go play that virtual reality
That's
game.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Motivated.
Well, thank you so much. We have our special ending to our podcast with Logan.
This was Rapid not on
fire question.
This was not on your list. This
it
is
wasn't.
A surprise.
Oh my!
Her eyes just popped out of her head. These are not necessarily work at all related. This is just okay. to help people get to know you a little better and
what was one
see
of those
the human
sentences?
Side.
And how do you spell it?
Okay, so the rapid fire questions. I'm going to ask you 10 really random questions. Just come.
Oh, wait, love it.
Whatever. Comes to your brain.
Oh, what?
New season, new questions, right?
New season, new questions.
Oh my.
There's only one that's the same, and it's just the best one, so.
You never know what comes out of my mouth.
That's even better.
It'll be great. Okay. What is something that's on your bucket list?
Okay, I kind of want to jump off of an airplane, but I'm so scared to do it.
That's awesome.
I do. I'm
really
so
glad
scared,
you said
though.
An airplane.
I want to, what are you jumping off?
Skydive.
Yeah, skydive. Yeah.
All right, so.
See, we can't think on the spot sometimes.
I recommend you do it sooner than later. I did it when I was 22, and it was awesome.
Really?
Mm-hmm, but I would never do it again.
Oh, I'm so scared.
It's awesome. Definitely do it.
Yeah, that ship
I
sailed.
I want to do it so bad.
Yeah.
I know the minute I have a kid, we're done.
Yeah, it's just
there's no me flying out of nothing.
It changes everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
What word do you get told you pronounce wrong?
Everything. my brain goes a million miles a minute, and I will stutter and stutter. Sometimes I think I need speech. I don't know what word.
Like, I say pillow wrong. It's pillow, but I say pillow.
So, I work at a golf course in the summer, and I say water different ways every single time.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you want a water? Do you want a water? Do you want a water?
Like it's just, yeah.
Yep.
Whatever
I guess
way
that's
it comes
my,
out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What is your hidden talent?
Mm, wow.
Stumped.
Oh, I don't think I have. No, we all have a hidden talent. I get, wow.
I love how hard it is for people to compliment themselves.
My hidden talent might not be a compliment.
Right.
Well, I don't think mine's like a hidden
point,
talent. Like, I get really, really hyper before I go to sleep. And as the occupational therapist to me, I should be able to figure out how to decompress myself.
How do you regulate?
But it's kind of like the dog when they get the zoomies. Like, mm-hmm. I get that at night, and my boyfriend's just like, oh my God, go to sleep. He's just like I'm going to go downstairs. It's not really hidden talent,
she
but.
She gets the human zoomies.
Yeah.
All I picture is Serena running around, like running around her bed.
Like everything just goes in my head. I'm just like, I don't
you
think
can
I
come
clean
over my
sink
house
this
before
morning.
You go to
I don't
sleep.
Think I clean this. Like I need to do this. Bring the laundry down. Did I ever switch the laundry?
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
What is the worst present you ever received?
The worst present I've ever received.
I didn't see the finalized list.
It's not too bad, but it was like a bacon cookbook, and I was just like...
Some people might find that to be the best gift
I
they
know.
Ever received.
I know. It was a bacon cookbook, and I was just like, wow, I love bacon, even though I only eat turkey bacon.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Totally random.
What is not a big deal to most people, but torture to you? Megan doesn't like when people's tags stick out.
Yes, I don't. Caught me. Are you kidding me? When I was a kid and in church, if the person's tag was out in front of me, hook it with my fingers,
Megan,
flip it in.
Put your hands down.
Right.
I think it's when their pants are, like, hanging off a little too long.
You just want to pull them up, right?
Because, like, I even see it when, you know, we all work with little babies. They're running around and their pants are falling down, and I'm, like, running after them, and I'm hiking them up as I'm running.
That's so funny. You can thank us, the Gen Xers, for that one. Yeah,
they can care less. Yeah. Just, like, pulling pants up. What is a book you think everyone should read?
That's really bad. I'm reading one right now, and I can't remember the name of it. It's a sensory book. It is amazing. Every parent needs to read it. I could give you the link of it.
We'll put it in the...
we'll backtrack. Yep.
It's so good, I can't remember.
Well, because once you start reading, I get that. Because once you start reading, you're like, I don't know what it's called.
Welcome to Serena's life.
Oh, I'm reading a book right now, and I have no idea what the name of it is.
What is your favorite type of stationery? This is my favorite question of the season, I think.
Pens. All right. Glitter pens. And glitter pens. Any pen. I love pens. Pens.
I'm just stuck on that last one. I'm like, well, is it like parchment or lined pens? That's where my brain goes.
What?
Stationary. They're all forms of stationary.
Parchment paper?
Wait, did I answer that question right?
Yes. Well, you're the first one we've asked, and you just rolled with it.
Wait, what did you think it is?
We kind of thought people would be like, what?
No, parchment. You just answered
it. Parchment, like what the Declaration of Independence was written on.
Oh my God.
Like thicker paper. Parchment paper.
That's what it was.
You also can currently make it with white paper and tea, because I had to do it for a kid's school project.
Oh my gosh.
But that's where I went, is like the actual type of paper.
Lined.
Loosely. I'm all about the post-it.
I prefer the heavy duty.
But what is your meaning behind that? Did you mean like what kind of things associated with writing?
Yeah, like stationary material. Like, I don't know. I'm a big stationary person. Like, I need note cards or like post-its, like pens. Yes.
Mine is the yellow notepads, the larger ones with lines.
Yeah. Okay, so the whole thing, not just the paper itself. Got it.
My masters. I carried one with me everywhere. I thought it was like the coolest thing in the entire world. And I was like, I just love having
the yellow notepad?
The yellow notepads, and I'd have that and a pen. I'm like, I don't care where I went. But my supervisor in my undergrad internship, no matter where she went, she's like, as long as I've got a pad and a pen, I can write anything down. Awesome. So I think I just like got half of that from her. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, I love this.
No, yeah. So I used them all through when I was studying for my boards. I sat at my kitchen table for 8 hours a day for 2 straight weeks. I graduated 2 weeks later. I took my board to pass on the first try.
That was smart.
I made sure I sat there and I studied every single thing. And it was, I still have my notebook and I'll like tear pages out and I save them. Like, it's so silly because like I save those pages that I rip out and I'm just like, I'll need them someday. They're under my bed right now.
I'm a paper hoarder like that.
Yeah.
You eventually will have a really nice bonfire. My husband did that when he finished nursing school. He was so done, and we have a little fire pit out in our yard, and that's what he did. He was like, come on, we're gonna have a fire
cathartic.
Pit. Burned it all.
I keep my planners from like years ago.
I used to do that
because I might need to know what I did on December 12th, 2007.
Oh, that is so funny. So funny.
I don't do that anymore.
I've never looked.
Yeah.
But I have them.
But you might need it.
When the toilet paper runs out, what do you do?
Oh, I scream. Help! I need toilet paper! Every single time.
I feel like I have to specify that question because I'm more curious about people who leave the toilet paper empty on the hook.
Oh, it drives me insane.
After they finish it, if they replace it,
no,
or if they just
not in my house,
or if they take the new one and sit it on top.
They sit it on top, and it drives me insane. That's one of my I guess that's my pet peeve. There you go. It's not pants on the ground.
What's your favorite Disney character?
Ooh, I love Disney. Mickey Mouse. Just because all the kids
classic.
Like him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And last one, what's your life motto?
There's always more to learn.
Very good. Yeah.
There is.
There's good always one. More to learn. I will live by that.
That's this a good one.
Great, Serena. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you
so
much.
This is so much fun.
Yeah. Last thing, how do people find you?
Facebook, call me, text me. My phone is always in my hand.
What's your, what numbers or emails or your Facebook page?
So my Facebook page is Sensory Sessions with Serena, Occupational Therapy Services.
Serena with an S, just
in case. Yes, S-E-R-E-N-A, not I-N-A.
I've never seen it like that.
Yeah. And then my phone number is 609-276-8553. Call me, text me. My phone. I always have parents on my phone. I love it.
All right, great.
Thank you so much,
Serena.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. Looking for more? Be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast app and Instagram at The Interactive Journey.
Questions, comments, or want to be a guest on our show? We'd love to hear from you. You can message us at podcast@interactivekids.com or on Instagram at The Interactive Journey.